Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio, where we bring you information about Minnesota's National Guard, the military community, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Program, and Department of Veterans Affairs. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is also a Vietnam veteran of the United States Air Force and a member of the VFW and American Legion. Now, here's Tom Lyons.
Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm Tom Lyons. On today's show, we'll get some tax advice for our military service members and veterans, and we'll take a look at a serious problem affecting today's troops. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
In the last few months, it seems like Governor Dayton and I are traveling together to venues across the state to recognize cities, counties, and companies for earning the recognition of the Yellow Ribbon Program. Recently, we were in Lakeville together. We recognized the city of Apple Valley and heard how committed they are in partnering with their local workforce center to assist with veteran unemployment. We recognized the city of Burnsville, a city who has placed Beyond the Yellow Ribbon magnets on all of their police, fire, and rescue vehicles. An illustration of a total community effort. We recognize the city of Oakdale for their work with the schools and the Boy Scouts, and we recognize Dakota County and the leadership of their commissioners who are acknowledging the importance of bringing military families to the front of county conversations. But I have to tell you how excited I was to recognize a group that calls themselves Beyond the Yellow Ribbon south of the river. They are a network of cities in Scott County that includes Belle Plaine, Jordan, New Prague, Prior Lake, Shakopee, and Savage. And this is an area that I know a lot about. I've raised my family in this area, and I've done business also in this area. I'm so proud that my community took time to stop and ask, how can we better support the men and women in uniform and their families right here at home? The community I call home is a Yellow Ribbon community, and it's a good feeling. Is yours?
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining us now is the head of military outreach for the Minnesota Department of Revenue, Andrea Weyer. Andrea, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you for having me.
Can you tell me, what does the head of military outreach do for the state of Minnesota?
Well, at the Department of Revenue, we offer kind of a number of services and resources that are available to the many military members in Minnesota. We have a specific outreach group that attends a lot of the reintegration events, so like the initial reintegration, the 30-day, and then a lot of the family support conferences as well. So we provide them kind of with information on the tax credits, subtractions, just the different resources that are available for them.
I would guess in the last 10 years you've been quite busy then, because the Minnesota National Guard's had deployments to over 35 countries, and I think the total is somewhere around 25,000 National Guard troops.
Absolutely, and especially with the spring, with the 2,500 Minnesota military members coming home too, we're sending a lot of our department personnel to help out at those reintegration events as well. So,
Andrea, are there special rules for filing tax returns for deployed service members?
Well, there are a few extensions that are available to members that are deployed. If the person is deployed in a combat zone, they get an automatic six-month extension. So when they go to file their tax returns for Minnesota, they're going to want to attach just a statement, a separate piece of 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper indicating that they were in a combat zone. And then for federal, they're going to want to write on in red ink on the top of their 1040, just indicating that they were in a combat zone as well. So that's going to give them that six-month extension to file and pay their taxes if they were in a combat zone.
Now, does that apply to the service member and their spouse?
Correct. Yep.
So, and they're going to have questions, and we're going to ask you this a few times today, but if our listeners or the military service members returning have questions, where do they go for information from you?
You can check out our website, which is revenue.state.mn.us.
Okay, now you mentioned there's a military credit or a credit for military service in a combat zone.
Yes.
Can you tell me what that involves?
Sure. So for any military member that was deployed in a or had service in a combat zone, there's a $120 a month credit that they are entitled to. And even if it's just a couple days of that month, they qualify for that full $120 credit. And the form that they're going to fill out to claim this credit is a Form M-99.
M-99.
Yep, Form M-99. And you're going to have to complete that for each year that you have months that were in a combat zone.
Now, I understand that the credit was less through 2008, and then it went to $120 a month in 2009.
Yep. In 2008, it was $59 a month, and then in 2009, it's $120. And then also just keep in mind, too, that that 2008 credit does expire on October 15th of 2012 here. So if you were deployed in those months and you haven't received that credit, make sure you get that filed.
So that would mean they either didn't file their tax return or maybe didn't claim the credit so they could go back and amend it?
Well, actually, this is a credit that's separate from your tax return. So this is something that you can file completely separate from that. So even if you're not, if you haven't caught up on filing your taxes, or if you haven't filed your taxes for this year yet, you can still qualify and file for the M-99 credit. So it's a separate form filed separately from your income taxes.
Okay, and who all is eligible?
Anyone that had any service in a combat zone, and there's additional instructions on the Form M-99 regarding what service qualifies for the credit.
Okay, and in order to file that M-99, what other documentation is needed?
They do need to attach the DD-214, which says the specific amounts of time that they were in a qualified combat zone. Or if they don't have the DD-214, they can attach a copy of their leave and earnings statement. So for each month that for the leave and earnings statements of qualifying service, they would have to attach that.
We're speaking with Andrea Weyer, the head of military outreach from the Minnesota Department of Revenue on Minnesota Military Radio. Andrea, what if they don't have copies of the required documentation?
You can check out our website, and there are some resources for them to get that required documentation. I believe they can go to the MyPay website, and that they can get the LES statements from there.
Are there special rules if a service member is in the hospital for an extended period of time, or if they died while in a combat zone?
Yep, regarding if they did die in a combat zone, there are certain other people that can qualify to claim the credit. Off the top of my head, I'm not. It would be either their
surviving spouse or personal representative.
Yep, surviving spouse or personal representative. Correct.
And once again, they can go to your website to get help with that.
Yep.
revenue.state.minnesota.us.
Yep, all the current year forms and prior year forms are available on there for that M-99 credit.
Andrea, you must get a lot of phone calls from our Minnesota returning veterans in military. Can you tell us about some of those?
A lot of times people are just kind of wondering if they've filed for that M-99 credit before. So a lot of times it's just kind of checking on that for them. A lot of other times people are wondering if there's any services available for them to get tax help. So I refer them to our website a lot. Otherwise, there are some other resources that they can check out if they do need help filing their taxes, if you want me to go into some of those.
Andrea, we've got to take a short break. When we come back, I think we'll run through the other resources available to help our returning troops.
Sounds great.
You're listening to the Minnesota Military Radio, and we'll be right back with more information on tax advice for veterans. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and we're talking with Andrea Weyer, the head of military outreach from the Minnesota Department of Revenue. Andrea, in the first segment, we were talking about the credit for military service in a combat zone. Could you quickly run through that one more time?
Yeah, absolutely. The Minnesota Department of Revenue has a specific credit for service in a combat zone. So it's $120 a month credit for any month or partial month that they served in a combat zone. And you can file that form on or that credit on Form M-99.
And the documentation necessary to file with that?
Yep, and in order to file for that, you would need to attach your DD-214, or you would need to attach copies of your leave and earnings statements for each month of qualifying service.
And your website again, in case they need help?
Yep, so you can go onto our website to find the current year forms and any previous year forms or more information. And our website is revenue.state.mn.us.
Andrea, just before we went to break, we talked about you get some calls from families of service members and service members. What type of issues do they have, and what type of things have you heard that you have to help them with?
So a lot of times they're wondering if they have filed for the credits or not. And a lot of times they don't realize that they qualify for some of the subtractions for Minnesota. So I always refer them to our website because most of the military compensation that they receive is subtractable off of the Minnesota return if it is taxable federally. So there's more information on that, and they would need to attach a Schedule M1M to their income tax return. And more information on that's available at our website at revenue.state.mn.us. Another major question that we usually get, especially during this time of the filing season, is where can they go for help? And there are a lot of different resources that are available to members of the military to help them complete their taxes during the tax season.
And can you run us through some of those resources?
Absolutely. Directly on our Minnesota Department of Revenue website, there is a link for some free online filing software. It's going to be free for, there's two different software programs that are free for active duty military. So you would just want to click onto our website and follow the link for the online filing software to see if you do qualify for free filing with that. There is the Military OneSource website, which the website is militaryonesource.mil, and there is some free online filing software as well through that website. So there's kind of two options for them to file if they want to file their own taxes. And there is another option that is available. The National Guard Program Office has partnered with the Minnesota Society of CPAs, Certified Public Accountants, and there are a number of different CPAs throughout Minnesota that will actually prepare military returns for deployed military personnel that are currently deployed or have recently been deployed within the past 12 months. So they will file those taxes for free for those individuals. And the number to call is the National Guard Program Office, which is 651-268-8204. And that's a great resource that's available for them.
Andrea, I would guess that there's quite a number of 1st Brigade Combat Team members coming home that have been deployed for a year and maybe have been single and just never got around to filing tax return for last year.
Yeah.
They have time to file it, and even if the time has passed, they should just file it as quickly as possible, shouldn't they?
Absolutely. You do want to file your taxes before the deadline or soon after just to avoid any potential penalties and interest. So you do want to file your taxes on time if possible.
And you indicated that this form, in order to get the credit for military service in combat zone, the M-99,
yep,
is separate from your tax return.
Correct. So you can go ahead and file that form M-99 at any point. It's a separate form that you file separate from your income tax returns.
Okay, so we're just about out of time. Can you want to run through that list of resources quickly and then give us your website one more time?
So there's a link to online filing software on our Department of Revenue website, which is revenue.state.mn.us. You can also visit the Military OneSource website, which is militaryonesource.mil, and there's an option for online software filing there. Or you can also call the National Guard Program Office at 651-268-8204, and the National Guard is partnered with the Minnesota Society of Certified Public Accountants, and They can potentially file your taxes for you if you've been if you're currently deployed or have returned from deployment within the past 12 months.
And there's a number of those CPA firms that have indicated they might do that for free, correct?
Correct, yes.
And the last time, if they need help from the Minnesota Department of Revenue?
Visit our website at revenue.state.mn.us.
Andrea, any final thoughts for our listeners and our returning service members?
I just want to thank you all for your service. And if you have any questions, feel free to contact us. We're always willing and able to help our service members.
Andrea, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
That was Andrea Weyer, the head of military outreach for the Minnesota Department of Revenue. If you need to reach them one more time, it's revenue.state.mn.us. Let's visit this week's Support Our Troops Showcase and discuss how military youth in Minnesota are recognized for their service during the month of the military child. Sierra Stenger has been dealing with deployments since she was 6 years old. Her dad deployed in 2003. Now at the age of 15, Sierra is waiting for her mother to return from her second overseas tour. It's long been said that when a loved one deploys, the whole family deploys. The same could be said for families that miss their service member over long training periods. Whatever the case, military families feel the strain while worrying about a loved one being in harm's way. Oftentimes, this caused Sierra to feel isolated and alone. Her friends, not having any ties to the military, couldn't understand what she was going through. So when Sierra received a letter from the governor, she felt pretty special. The small token showed Sierra that she was part of the armed forces and that she played an important role while her parents were deployed. This April, the state of Minnesota will once again take time to recognize its young heroes. During the month of the military child, military children can register to receive a letter of gratitude from Governor Mark Dayton, honoring their service and sacrifice. Thank you, Month of the Military Child, for emphasizing the important role of military children and going beyond the yellow ribbon. Beyond the Yellow Ribbon is a comprehensive program that creates awareness, connecting service members and their families with community support, training, services, and resources. To find out how you can register a military child to receive a letter from the governor, click the Events and Deals button at beyondtheyellowribbon.org. Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, united to bring service members all the way home. Coming up next on Minnesota Military Radio, we'll take a look at a serious problem affecting today's troops. Please stay with us. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm Tom Lyons. It's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shelledo.
On April 9th, we honor the commitment and the sacrifices made by our nation's prisoners of war. We take time to remember and pay respect to the thousands of men and women who have served in the military and through circumstances of war beyond their control have been held captive by enemy forces. Back to the Revolutionary War through current conflicts, prisoners of war have bravely endured the loss of the very freedom they fought to defend at the hands of their captors. These brave individuals deserve the recognition from their fellow citizens and have earned the right to wear their badge of courage with pride. On April 9th, we will remember and honor these courageous veterans.
Thank you, Commissioner Shelledo. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining us now from the Minnesota National Guard is Chief Master Sergeant Kelly Wilkinson, who is the Sexual Assault Response Coordinator for the Guard. Chief, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Good morning.
Chief, I understand that you first enlisted in February 1992. Can you tell us a little bit about your career?
Well, it's been a very fulfilling career. I just made my 20 years, so I'm quite excited about that. I've spent about 10 years of my career with the Minnesota National Guard and just over 9.5 years with the Hawaii National Guard.
Sounds like tough duty, Chief.
No, very good.
And now you are the Sexual Assault Response Coordinator for the Minnesota National Guard. Can you tell me what is that? What are your duties? What's that job?
Oh, goodness. It ranges with a full scope of duties. But our main focus with the Sexual Assault Prevention and Response Program is to respond to victims of sexual assault. Our main focus is to ensure that our service members have a safe, confidential place to come and talk to us and receive help, care, whether it's care for emotional, physical, or mental trauma due to sexual violence.
Now, Chief, I understand in the Minnesota National Guard, Army and Air National Guard, there's about 14,000 soldiers and airmen. You must have some help. You must have some victim advocates. How does this all organized within the Minnesota Guard?
Definitely, we have many victim advocates that are fully trained. Approximately 150 sexual assault response coordinators and victim advocates throughout Minnesota, both within the Army and the Air National Guard. We are there to assist individuals at the unit level, basically 24 hours a day, if possible.
Now, Chief, this means those soldiers and airmen and their families, if they're involved on duty or off duty, have some kind of a sexual assault problem, they can come to you and your folks?
Exactly. Our services don't just stop with a service member that has been sexually assaulted on duty. We have many service members that report sexual assaults that happen on and off duty. Sometimes we have service members that need help with family members that need to be cared for due to sexual violence. And we have a lot of service members that report not only when a sexual assault has just occurred, but we have service members that need help that endured sexual violence and trauma, you know, up to 20 years ago.
Chief, we heard last week on the show the Adjutant General's message. We get a weekly message from the Adjutant General, and he talked about sexual assault, and he had some numbers for us in terms of cases that have been reported. And as he's shown us for the last year and a half, he's not shy about taking on tough issues, and he sounds very serious about sexual assault. And, of course, you're in charge of this. So can you walk us through some of those numbers, and what do they mean? It sounded like the number of reported cases are going up. I'm assuming that's because people are more willing to talk to you now. Is that what's going on?
Definitely. We do not want to discourage service members from reporting. The actual trends of reports that have gone up in the last 4 years shows that service members are gaining more trust in our leadership, that they feel more comfortable in reporting sexual assaults and getting the help that they need. So this is definitely a trend that we want to continue. And again, a rise in reports does not mean that there is more of an issue happening today. Rather, it's a sign that service members, again, are feeling much more comfortable. They're more aware of the problem, and they're more aware that there is help available.
We're speaking from with Chief Master Sergeant Kelly Wilkinson from the Minnesota National Guard on Minnesota Military Radio. Chief, I'm curious, when we talk about the number of sexual assaults over the last few years within the military community, within the Minnesota National Guard, how does that compare with civilians? Is it comparable in terms of numbers and types of events?
It's pretty comparable. I'd like to believe that our service members are gaining more trust and feeling more comfortable in reporting. But basically, throughout the military and throughout our society, realistically, less than 10% of sexual assault victims report sexual assaults.
So a very small percentage of what's going on is ever reported.
Exactly.
And when we talk about sexual assault, are we talking about, I'm assuming, actual physical sexual assault, but are we talking about sexual harassment and some other? What's reported? Is it a whole range of things?
There is a huge sexual violent continuum. And on that continuum, it can start from sexual harassment. It can lead up to groping, and then all the way up to actual rape or sodomy. So there is a huge continuum of sexual violence, and we have individuals report with, you know, many of those issues.
And the within the Minnesota National Guard, what you're trying to do is change the culture, so to speak, so that people are more willing to report and more willing to deal with these type of issues today than, say, 20 years ago when you first started?
Exactly. Our training is very intense, long, innovative, interactive, and that training is to encourage individuals to see where the problems lie in recognizing certain behaviors that lead to sexual assault. But we are also training our leadership in not only recognizing the culture that is created within their organizations and how to stop that, to diminish a culture where sexual harassment and sexual assaults occur. And we do that with a lot of training, a lot of briefings, and also providing leadership and command standard operating procedures so they know how to respond and react to service members with respect and dignity.
And Chief, we've seen a report recently about the Secretary of Defense, Panetta, has come out with some new initiatives to deal with these issues. And of course, the Adjutant General with his message last week seems to think this is really important and to keep after it. And so the attitude from the Pentagon right down to the soldier in the field today is this is not tolerable at all, is it?
Zero tolerance. It's not tolerable, and we will do everything we can. Like I mentioned, first and foremost is to ensure victims of sexual violence are treated, and last but not least is accountability for those that perpetrate.
Chief, we've got to take a short break. When we come back, I'd like to talk about the training programs that your soldiers and airmen are going through and the steps you're taking to prevent sexual assault today. This is the Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and we're speaking with Chief Master Sergeant Kelly Wilkinson from the Minnesota National Guard. She is the Sexual Assault Response Coordinator. Chief, I haven't asked you yet, when something is reported, how does the Minnesota National Guard respond to a sexual assault report? What do you do when, hopefully the phone never rings, but when the phone rings, how do you respond?
Well, first we collect information pertinent to that individual. Every case is different. Every situation has different variables in it, and everyone needs different help and resources. So we determine what the victim needs, what they want, and either provide that information and that resource through military channels or through our civilian rape crisis centers, domestic violence centers, wherever they need to get help.
So if they've asked for help specifically from the Minnesota National Guard, you're there. But if they're already engaged with the civilian authorities and going through that, then you stand by and help?
Definitely. We, like I mentioned before, we have 150 victim advocates, and those individuals will walk through the process with a service member after they have reported being victimized. We will assist and support them through contacting local law enforcement. We will help and support them through going to a rape crisis center or going with them to the hospital to have a forensic exam conducted. We will provide medical documentation if it happened in a military status. We will provide that information for them so they can not only receive care at that time, but receive care for the rest of their lives after being sexually assaulted and basically injured in the line of duty.
So, Chief, if the sexual assault is reported, you've got that whole protocol to take care of, but I'm guessing that you spend a great deal of your time on prevention, and you've alluded to being proactive. What type of training do our Minnesota Army and Air National Guard troops get?
They receive a lot of training. If you would ask some of our service members, they would probably say too much training because this topic is really everywhere they turn. They are hearing about sexual assault and prevention efforts. But it's really important. And the more the training is out there, the more reports we get. So it does show that the awareness and prevention efforts are helping. The Air National Guard receives 90 minutes of training on an annual basis, and that training is called the Bystander Intervention Training. And there's three different modules. There's a module for males, a module for females, and a module for leaders. And each of those modules are a little different in the content of what is in the training. But basically, it is speaking to those individuals on recognizing those situations that may lead to a sexual assault and providing the skills for them to intervene safely to avoid that assault from happening.
Then the expectation is that today's NCOs must lead by example, and when they see something, step in and prevent it, step in and stop it from happening.
Definitely.
But Chief, in my briefing papers, there was a paragraph here that I thought was interesting. This is about the expectations. And it says, from commanders to witnesses, all involved in our system of justice must be free from any intimidation, discouragement, or any other influence that may interfere with the free exercise of responsibilities and rights in our military justice process. So you're really working on the culture. Make sure from top to bottom, everybody acknowledges this is not acceptable behavior. And let's make sure we take care of those that might have been a victim. And let's get after this proactively.
Definitely. It's a huge effort. And, all we can do is take baby steps and head towards the right direction.
Chief, we're almost out of time. Any final thoughts for our listeners?
All I can say is that if we have any listeners out there that have been sexual assault victims, that they can definitely contact us at any time. Our information is on the MinnesotaNationalGuard.org webpage under SARC, S-A-R-C.
Chief, I'd like to thank you for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you very much.
That was Chief Master Sergeant Kelly Wilkinson, the Sexual Assault Response Coordinator for the Minnesota National Guard. Joining us now is the Senior Enlisted Advisor to the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Command Sergeant Major Cindy Kahlberg. Sergeant Major, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom. Nice to be here.
I understand that there is a report that was issued by the Secretary of Defense on Women in Service Review. Can you tell us what that's about?
I sure can, Tom. Basically, last year, the Secretary of Defense initiated a Women in Service Review. They wanted to look at laws and policies and regulations regarding the service of female members in the armed forces. And they wanted to see where females could serve now that they couldn't serve in the past. We've had a lot of restrictions, especially in the Army, on the positions that women could serve in. Based on the last 10 years of combat experience, they took a different approach to that and looked at maybe we could open some more positions.
And what was the goal of this report?
The Department of Defense's goal is to create some flexibility for multiple future combat scenarios while maintaining force readiness for the all-volunteer force. So really to tap into some more of that talent that's out there in more positions than was previously available. They really saw that women were able to do the job in Iraq and Afghanistan lately, and so it caused them to look at things a little bit differently.
So, Sergeant Major, does this mean that women in the military now will be able to perform duties that they were not allowed to perform in the past?
Yeah, Tom, this report, this policy change will impact almost 14,000 positions across the active Army and the reserve component, so it will open that many more positions. Specifically within the Minnesota National Guard, we've kind of done an initial look at that, and it equals up to approximately 174 authorized enlisted positions that will be affected by this change, and about 81 authorized officer positions. So it's pretty impactful.
So are there still a few things that women are prevented from doing, or is that getting very small now?
Well, it's about 97.3% of all the occupational specialties are open to women now. About 75% of all Army positions, and obviously in the Air Force, women are allowed in every position. So we're really getting there now.
So the very few positions that you're not allowed in, I would guess, are directly related to combat on the ground?
They are, mostly the infantry positions.
Sergeant Major, things are changing, and in your career they've changed a lot. You were the first senior enlisted advisor, woman senior enlisted advisor to the TAG, and now the Secretary of Defense and the Pentagon are opening everything up. Things are changing, aren't they?
Absolutely. It's changing really quickly, but I think it's deserved change. People, especially women, have really proven themselves in combat over the last 10 years.
Sergeant Major, any final thoughts about this report and how it's going to affect our women in the Minnesota National Guard?
Well, I think it's a great report, and it is available online if anyone wants to look it up. It's simply called the Women in Service Report to Congress. It's available if you just Google that.
All right, Sergeant Major, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Tom.
That was the Senior Enlisted Advisor to the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Command Sergeant Major Cindy Kahlberg. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Chief Master Sergeant Kelly Wilkinson, Andrea Weyer, Command Sergeant Major Cindy Kahlberg, Commissioner Larry Shalado, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we meet the Ritchie Boys as they push through Europe during World War II, and we'll learn about the readiness support groups for family members of deployed troops. That's next Sunday morning at 7, or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
You've been listening to Minnesota Military Radio with Tom Lyons. Tom is the founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition firm. This has been a production of Clear Channel, MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com, the Minnesota National Guard, BeyondTheYellowRibbon.org, and the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Podcasts of the show are available at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.